On Sunday morning, 3 weeks ago, my wife Tracy and I went to church in Scotland. It was our last full day in that lovely green country that we had been fortunate enough to be wandering around in for 2 weeks. We went to Elgin Cathedral, a church that has no roof anymore, and in which the floor is now grass, mostly. Because Elgin Cathedral fell into ruin back during the Protestant Reformation, about 500 years ago. There was no service there that Sunday, and there hasn't been a service there for hundreds of years. But it felt like church as we moved quietly through that space. On entering, I found myself walking down the center aisle. The huge posts, which would have been this big, some of them were just the bases remained, like footprints in the grass. I walked all the way down that center aisle, called the nave in a cathedral, and stopped at the crossing, the place where the transept, the two arms of the church, go out to the left and right. And I stood there at the crossing, looking toward the altar and the big round hole where once there was a stained glass window and now was clouds and sky, and said a silent prayer. And then, and I didn't plan this, I felt pushed down to my knees. Luckily, we were the first ones there that morning, and we had the cathedral to ourselves for a blessed few minutes. But I knelt on that grass, and then I bent over and touched my face to it, to that holy ground. On that trip, we found ourselves being drawn to ruins like this cathedral and other smaller ones, and to graveyards as well, to places where long ago people had done something to mark that spot as sacred. And we found newer places too, like a bench overlooking a pasture with sheep in it, and then further down a river meandering through the valley. A bench that invited us to sit there and be still and present and take it all in. To be open to the spirit of that place and to receive its blessings. If I was going to sum up that trip, which in many ways felt like a pilgrimage, I would say it was about seeking holy ground. Going in search of places where people have for centuries made walks and pilgrimages, where people have gathered to praise God, to bury their dead, to feel the wonders of this good earth. You've experienced this too, haven't you? You have found yourself at some time or another, perhaps quite unexpectedly, in the presence of something mysterious and powerful that filled you with awe and wonder. Maybe it was the birth of a child. Maybe it was standing on a hill when the clouds part to reveal the sun or a rainbow. Maybe it was returning to a place that has been important to you. Or coming into a space like this one, where something touched you and moved you. Like Moses, just minding his own business, tending those sheep, and all of a sudden in the presence of something that he cannot understand but knows is powerful. And he hears this voice, "Take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground." This morning, I invite you to remember those times when you have found yourself on holy ground. Because we need the reminder that these experiences offer us. That life is good and does have meaning in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. That despite all the trouble in our world, there is also goodness and peace. We need to be reminded, as the UU minister David Bumbaugh says, there is a unity that makes us one and binds us forever together in spite of time and death and the space between the stars. I hope you don't hear that word holy as necessarily churchy. Any place can be sacred. Wendell Berry says, there are no unsacred places. There are only sacred spaces and desecrated spaces. Wendell Berry is a farmer, and he knows better than most of us about the good earth, about the blessing that comes from being down to earth, in touch with the ground. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Can you hear that truth the way I imagine a farmer does? Not in a scary way, but in a reassuring one, that we come out of this holy ground, and when we die, that's where we're going back to. Though any place can be holy, there are particular places that people have been drawn to for a long time. One morning in Scotland, we woke up early and took the first ferry from the Isle of Mull over to the island of Iona, where St. Columba, after leaving Ireland, started a monastery back in 563 AD. There were only a handful of people on that ferry. And as we walked out the road to the abbey, there were a few others I saw making their way toward the church, along the paths that pilgrims have walked for over 1,000 years. When we walked into the abbey, light streamed through the clear east-facing window behind the altar. Piano music played softly as we found our way into seats in the choir, the section of a big church where the pews are facing inward from the sides nearest to the front. I felt so moved just to be there, at worship in that space where people have gathered for so long. Take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground. Later that day, we walked out to St. Columba's Beach. No sand on that beach, just a bunch of rocks about as big as your fist. And that felt like holy ground too, as did the field of barley we walked through a few days later. I wonder, maybe it's a little easier to sense the sacred in a country far from home. Sometimes one's everyday life doesn't seem as special or exotic as some place you had to travel a long way to get to. But I will tell you that when I returned from that trip and parked across the street here and saw again that little square of grass outside our back door and the lovely, well-watered bed of flowers blooming, and then when I walked in here into this empty sanctuary, it felt so good to be home. And I saw and felt this as holy ground too. Do you think some places are inherently sacred? Over the centuries, people certainly have identified certain mountaintops and islands and some rivers and even some paths as holy, as if they're holy in and of themselves. But I sense that it is what people have done in those places over the years that adds to them. The way a cairn on a mountain grows with every stone a hiker adds to it. People may build churches in places they already sense as sacred, but doesn't the act of gathering there, all the years of blessing babies and burying the dead and gathering together for worship, doesn't this bless and sanctify that space even more? Our experiences of this good earth, I believe they become part of the landscape too. I believe you can feel the spirit of a place, that you can sense when things have happened there if you are attuned to that. It's a good practice to pay attention to right where you are, to see it as holy ground. This direct experience of that transcendent mystery and wonder is the source of so much of the religious impulse. My question for you is this: are you getting enough of that? Are you putting yourself in places that are holy? Are your eyes open? And is your heart open to sensing the sacred as you travel through your days? Wendell Berry says, "The world cannot be discovered by a journey of miles, no matter how long, but only by a spiritual journey, a journey of 1 inch, very arduous and humbling and joyful, by which we arrive at the ground at our own feet and learn to be at home." This, my friends, is the pilgrimage of our time, to see the ground right under our feet as holy. And if that ground has been desecrated, then to set about making it holy once again, to set about making it whole once again, to do the work of opening our eyes and being present to the gift that is this day, to find tangible ways to care for this earth, for its people, for all its creatures, including ourselves. Of course, this opening of eyes also means looking at things that are not beautiful or easy to see. This week, as I've been thinking about holy ground, I keep imagining that park in Charlottesville, Virginia, where white supremacists and counter-protesters clashed a week ago yesterday. I picture that street where Heather Heyer was killed and so many others were injured. Has that ground been desecrated by the violence and hatred that happened there? Or has it been sanctified by the blood that was shed and the courageous acts of those who stood firm, risking their own safety in order to say, this is not who our country is or what we stand for? The events and words of this past week remind us that our nation has unresolved work to do facing our history of white supremacy. As far as we have come, there is still a long way to go. These days, I'm reminded of those familiar words spoken by President Lincoln on the battlefield at Gettysburg. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men, we would now say all people, are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. President Lincoln was there in Gettysburg to dedicate part of that battlefield as a cemetery. But he said, "We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here." Of course, President Lincoln was mistaken about that, that the world did remember what he said there. And his words have certainly helped to enshrine that field in Gettysburg as holy ground. And I hear his words as pertinent as compelling as they were 150 years ago. They still call out to us today. Listen to what he said. "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." We are standing on holy ground, and we are standing on the shoulders of those who came before us. This is our time, and we are called to do our part to bind up what has been broken, to reconsecrate through our love and care that which has been defiled, to join hands with all others of goodwill, to perform acts of courage and dedication, to sing our songs of peace as we work together to heal and bless our world. Amen.